It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. The sun's out. It's great this morning. Just look at that. We're up early, isn't this great?
Yes, Wendy? We are up early.
So, Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition counseling for all problems. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank you for joining us this morning. You know, today we want to share our clinical experience and research about compulsive and addictive eating. You know, if you're a person that just can't stop with one cookie, one Diet Coke, one piece of candy. So if so, stay tuned because we have some solutions to your compulsive eating problem. Our co-host that you just heard over there is Wendy Cates Dancer. Wendy is a registered nurse, nutrition counselor, and educator. She sees clients at our White Bear office, and also on Wednesday, she sees clients at our St. Paul office, and she has some firsthand knowledge of compulsive eating, right?
Yes, I do, actually. Are you talking about my old Diet Coke habit? And, you know, it felt like what I had was an addiction to diets in general. But we'll talk about that later. I want to welcome all of our listeners to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are a first-time listener, we direct you to our website at weightandwellness.com. So you can check out all of our classes, all of our past shows, our articles, our recipes. It's a great website. And if you are a regular listener, we really appreciate your support. And I want to say one more thing, Dar, and that is that when you said, because that really hit me this morning, when you said nutritional counseling for all health problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And most people don't think about that. They don't think that their Alzheimer's disease or their asthma or their arthritis has anything to do with nutrition.
No, most people just think that they should change their eating because they want to lose some weight.
Exactly.
And that's the only reason that they've ever thought about changing their diet or how they are eating. So we do put a new twist on things, but this is the real twist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because this is what real nutrition is all about. Is, like you said, supporting your brain chemistry, supporting your fertility, supporting your energy. It's everything.
Yeah, exactly. And now today we're talking about a subject, one of my favorite, and as you know, very dear to my own life, compulsive eating.
Mm-hmm. You know, after working with clients for the past 30 years, I think I have developed an understanding about compulsive eating that is truly life-changing for most clients. And honestly, it is pretty simple, but it's life-changing for most people.
It is. It is. It was for me. It was like I didn't know that I could live without cravings, without thinking about food, without, you know, cutting off my hands or sewing up my mouth or wiring my jaw, you know.
And people have all done those things.
Yes, they have. So often clients will come in for their first appointment and they will be afraid that what they will have to give up is the foods that they are addicted to. It is as though they have a love-hate relationship with these foods.
Well, you know, Cassie, who is also a dietitian that works with us, you know, she feared coming to work for us because she knew she was going to have to give up her Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And she had a struggle with it, but she knew she needed to do that anyway. So yeah, people have that fear, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I think some of them think we're going to send them out with seaweed and, you know.
Yep, seaweed
and
tofu.
Or worse yet, these packaged drinks that in bars that taste like sawdust.
That's right.
We don't do any of that.
Nope. So most people know that if you start your day with a forbidden food, that they're going to crave all day, you know, and they might be out of control. They'll be frustrated with their lack of willpower. And, you know, so they kind of understand that about themselves.
Yep. Or, you know, if I can't eat breakfast because if I eat breakfast, then I'll just eating all day long. Mm-hmm. So what foods are most addicting? Well, certainly chips. Bet you can't eat one. And then what just came out last week? Girl Scout cookies. Everybody has their favorite.
Yep.
Ice cream. Huge for some people. And cereal. Crackers and Diet Coke.
And I have never had a client at this point yet that's been addicted to steak or chicken
or broccoli.
Or salmon or broccoli or asparagus. So food addiction usually means sugar and processed carbohydrates and often diet soda.
Yeah. And sometimes, it's so funny because people will check that they're addicted to fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, what do you mean? And then it's always, well, French fries.
Yes.
Or chicken nuggets.
Or sometimes they'll say they're addicted to salt.
Yeah.
And guess what? Same thing.
Yeah, chips.
Chips, French fries. And it isn't, as we know, it isn't salt. It's the sugar in those products.
Yeah.
And that spins people's heads around, too, when they say, oh, you mean chips have sugar or French fries?
Uh-huh.
And then they stop and think about what those are made out of. And then they say, oh, yes, I think that's probably true.
Yeah, that is very true. But the other thing that we see, too, is that people come in and they blame themselves or they blame their addictive eating on their emotions. And they describe it as emotional eating. Like, I'm an emotional eater.
Right.
I eat with when I'm stressed. I eat with, it's like I eat when I'm emotional.
So, and Wendy, have you had clients that have blamed their mother? Because every time
I had to clean my plate or
every time something good or bad happened, their mother would feed them cookies or cakes or some type of sugar foods.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's mother's fault.
It's mom's fault. Yeah. So is addictive eating a habit, an emotional fix, a way to medicate your feelings or a psychological disorder? We do know that gastric bypass surgery does not stop addictive eating. And I think this is really sad and true when you actually look at the statistics of bypass surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have another statistic. 30% of those having gastric bypass will develop an
Yes.
I can't even say this. It's so disturbing. 30% of those having gastric bypass surgery will develop an alcohol addiction.
And people are in treatment.
That's astounding.
Right now. Every time there's a new crop of people that are going through these treatment centers, often there's at least one or two people in that group that have had gastric bypass surgery, and they had no addiction at all
before,
and they never even drank before. And suddenly everything changed and they became addicted to alcohol. So we know that many programs that are available to people with compulsive eating problems, they focus on either the psychological or a spiritual treatment model. Psychological counseling or a 12-step approach. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And both of those, I think they're helpful.
Absolutely.
But I think the most important aspect is not addressed. Most treatment programs do not look at the biochemical aspect of compulsive eating. And sadly, it's just overlooked because I don't think people understand it well enough to address it.
Right. 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 Exactly. And and we know, or at least I think most people know the statistics of how successful these programs are, and they're not very successful.
Right.
And people really struggle, and we could add that piece that could really help them. So often, an addictive eater following a traditional recovery plan after a short time will report a relapse with loss of control of their food choices and their eating behaviors, and they will say, I can't believe it. I was doing so well, and then I ate some cookies, and I couldn't stop. I ate everything in sight, and now I am desperate, sad, frustrated, and feeling unworthy. Maybe some of our listeners can relate to this.
Oh, I would think so. And I think that feeling unworthy is so, it's just because they ate too many cookies.
Right.
Suddenly, everything about themselves is feeling unworthy. So again, psychological counseling, group support, and spiritual practices all can help. But the understanding and the balancing of a person's biochemistry is really the core to recovery. You know, whether you're just a person frustrated with your lack of control over your own eating behavior, or if you're part of a 12-step program, you still need to look at the biochemistry, and you still need to balance that to have full recovery.
You know, and it might take some work for some people, but it is quite doable. There are some basic biochemical factors related to compulsive eating. One of the first factors to consider is, and that is essential, is keeping your blood sugar balanced throughout the day. Back a few years ago, Daria, I tell this story all the time, when I was a charge nurse on the Alzheimer's unit, I would, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'd go on a diet. And of course, I'd skip breakfast because if I ate breakfast, I'd be hungry all day.
And then you would be saving calories.
I'd be saving calories. And then I'd eat only yogurt or a salad with that spray dressing for lunch. And by the time my shift ended, I would be starving. And when I got home, I would, you know, hit the door and I would start with crackers or move on to cookies and then ice cream. And then I would eat until I was so drugged I would fall asleep.
Yep. And you know, and you and I both know that when we're working with clients, we hear this scenario over and over and over.
We do.
Because it happens to everyone that has low blood sugar because they haven't eaten enough through the day to keep their blood sugar balanced. And I think, Wendy, it's probably time to take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, an organization specializing in therapeutic nutrition to reduce cravings and addictive eating. People who have sugar cravings often don't sleep well. As we work with those who have food addictions, the first step is often is to get clients to sleep through the night. So when we come back, Wendy will give you some tips on how to get a good night's of sleep. So if you have questions today about addictive eating or about cravings, our number is 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud.
FM 107.1.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, and I'm here with Darkivist, a licensed nutritionist, and we are discussing the cause and the treatment of addictive eating. Before break, we were connecting the frequency of cravings with the lack of sleep. I think we can all relate to more sugar or carb cravings when we are tired and have spent some sleepless nights. How do we get better sleep? Well, we want you to take a balanced snack before bed. Well, what do we mean by that? We mean look at your three macronutrients, protein, that's meat and cheese and eggs, and you want some of that, but for sure you want some fat and you want some healthy carbs, like a small piece of fruit.
Nuts. Wendy, when you're talking about that, what do you mean? I mean, when you talk about all those big words like macronutrients and things like that, I mean, what would people eat for a snack?
Well, what they would eat for a snack would be, a piece of string cheese, mm-hmm, and a half a piece of fruit, not a big one because our fruits are too big.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd eat a quarter cup of nuts.
Okay. And we really recommend that people eat before they go to bed, don't we?
Yeah, we do, a little bit. Right, exactly.
If they're having sleep problems.
Well, yeah. And so you could have, half a cup of berries and a couple tablespoons of whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
You could have some slices of apple and some almond butter.
Okay, those things. So what else should they do? They should have their snack and then?
They should have their snack. Well, for sure, if they're having trouble sleeping, it's often a depletion in magnesium. You know, magnesium really helps calm us down and it really helps us sleep. So, 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium. Now, don't just go out any place and get magnesium because you're going to be getting magnesium
oxide,
which is not absorbable. You want magnesium glycinate. And then some people might want to add 5-HTP. That's another big word.
Yep.
Well, what is that?
Well, it's a form of tryptophan.
It's tryptophan. You know, like when our mothers used to give us warm milk, mm-hmm, to go to sleep, that had tryptophan in it. Tryptophan is simply an amino acid. We're just getting all these big words this morning, aren't we?
Yes.
But that's what protein breaks down to in your body. You know, so 5-HTP helps you make serotonin, which helps you make melatonin, which helps you go to sleep. Sorry for all the big words, but that's what it does.
and there's many other solutions for people that are really having trouble sleeping.
Exactly. I mean, people don't even understand that they need to, get the TV out of their bedroom or, I don't know if anybody has done a study, but so often lately I've heard, on the radio that being on your computer before you go to bed is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just stimulates too much brain activity. So it's hard to go from your computer to just go to bed and sleep.
Right. And I think for some people it's easy, but for people that are really having trouble sleeping, then the first step in any kind of health program is to be able to get at least eight hours of sleep a night.
Exactly.
And then from that, we go to the kind of the next level of things. And before we went on break, we were talking about, not eating enough through the day and how that starts to create food cravings. And I think, personally, I think most people know that anytime you start dieting and restricting foods, it really seems to set people up for binge eating. And it sets you up to have a slow metabolism. It's amazing how just eating 5 or 6 times a day turns off that compulsive eating problem. And that's hard to do. People are used to skipping meals. And keeping your blood sugar balanced is really the first step in overcoming any addiction. Now, I'm talking any addiction. Any
right.
addiction. And it's especially important to overcome a food addiction. So eating 5 or 6 times a day.
In balance.
Yep. Real food.
So we talk about blood sugar balance on Dishing Up Nutrition a lot.
We do.
It's like, actually we talk about balance a lot, don't we? Everywhere we go, it's balance, balance, balance. So balanced blood sugar reduces inflammation.
So if you're a person that's having a lot of inflammation, balance your blood sugar and suddenly you won't have as much.
That's amazing.
Yes.
For most people, it is. Balanced blood sugar reduces insulin resistance.
We know
and
that.
And another big word for people. And weight gain. Balanced blood sugars reduces cholesterol and triglycerides. Now, balanced blood sugar reduces addictive compulsive eating.
So balanced blood sugar supports clear thinking. That's a new thought, isn't it? So if we skip meals, our glucose or our blood sugar drops. But you know what? Our brain needs a steady supply of glucose all the time for clear thinking. So suddenly when our brain doesn't have that, we are not thinking very clearly.
Exactly. So when I was eating nothing for breakfast and barely anything for lunch, and then I got home and if I was thinking clearly, I wouldn't have gone to, from cookies to chips to ice cream back to something sweet and blah, blah, blah. So we want to keep our brain working and functioning well. And when the brain glucose is low, now, really, your brain is the gas guzzler of all your organs. It uses like over 20% of the nutrients we take
mm-hmm.
in.
Right.
Its preferred energy source is glucose. So when that falls low or it goes too high, our brain doesn't work well. So truly, this is not our mother's fault.
Right.
And it's not a psychological, it's a physical problem in your brain. So when the glucose is low, we can't stop eating until the brain glucose level is restored. And sometimes that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we can eat a whole box of Girl Scout cookies, which isn't a big deal now because I understand they made them smaller. They didn't want to increase
well,
the price.
It's 2 boxes.
So they made the boxes smaller. We can eat a whole quart of ice cream, a bag of chips before we get enough sugar back in our brain.
And again, eating several times a day to keep things in balance helps to balance our blood sugar. So what do we mean when we say balanced eating or balanced meals? And we're going to pick that up when we come back from a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you leading-edge nutrition education. You know, if you have a child who only wants to eat carbs and sugar, then you have a child who is at risk for diabetes, obesity, asthma, and acne. Let's face it, pop, cereal, Gatorade, and chips are putting our kids at risk for becoming food addicts. We see many children that are already in trouble. Diet pop and low-fat foods are not the answer. These kids need nutrition education and a plan to rebalance their body. So if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. And we are so happy you joined us this Saturday morning and want to alert you to some classes that we are teaching this coming week. We do lots of classes, and people leave our classes with just incredible life-changing information. I'm doing a class on balanced foods for balanced moods, and that's on Monday, March 16th in White Bear Lake. And that's from 6:30 to 8:30. It's a wonderful class for anybody that has any hormonal moods or depression or, you know, again, we really talk a lot about, there's that word balance again, isn't it, Dar?
Mm-hmm, right.
Balanced foods for balanced moods. And then on Thursday, March 19th at Uplift Fitness in Woodbury, we're doing the same class.
The same class,
mm-hmm. Balanced foods for balanced moods. So if either one of those dates fits for you, and then we're doing gut reaction, restore your digestive health, which is absolutely critical if you are one of those people that is a compulsive eater. And that's Tuesday, March 17th in Burnsville. So we have classes all over the Twin Cities. We try to keep them really convenient and local for people. Check out our website at weightandwellness.com or call today.
Yeah, and someone's answering.
Someone's there. They can get you signed up at 651-699-3438.
So we have a caller this morning. Someone's up early this morning. So hi, Jenny. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Actually, I have two questions. I thought of another one. But my first question is, do you recommend to eat cheese, and what kind?
Do we recommend to eat cheese? Well, if you're not dairy sensitive, mm-hmm. no problem. And when we look at cheese, we look at real cheese. You know, if you...
Not Velveeta?
No, not Velveeta.
Can we say that?
But real cheese, and, you know, if you can buy something that is an organic cheese, that's even going to be better. But real cheese should be fine.
European cheeses are lovely, and they taste good, and you can try all different kinds of flavors. And,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I also like to recommend, cheese isn't yellow, you know, so oftentimes that yellow cheese has dye in it.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Wendy. Yes, most people don't realize that. Now, you had another question for us this morning.
My second question is, where can I get one of your cookbooks?
Oh, they're kind of hard to come by right now.
Actually, just call our office, and we do, I think we probably just got some.
They were
some
printing
in.
Up some the other
yes.
day.
You know, the reason that we don't really talk about our cookbook, it is truly, I don't believe, finished. It's got some great recipes in it, and it's been on the back burner to finish, but I keep saying we've got to get it back up and get it finished for people.
Yes, we do.
It is. The recipes are really great in there.
And, okay.
So just give our office a call or.
And you might have to wait until I know we have several that we need to have for our classes, but they will get you one.
You know, when people take the weight and wellness classes, that's what they were intended for, is because we always give that cookbook out to everybody that
in
is
the class,
taking our weight and wellness series. But we still, if you want one, We'll sell you one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So
do you,
Do you have the number, or do you want us to give you that again?
I have the number.
Okay, fabulous.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
The
thank
call.
Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
So
okay,
do you
want to
start, or should I?
No, go ahead, Wendy.
So balance, balance, balance. You know, we look at balanced eating as being very prescriptive.
And what is that?
At each meal.
At each meal.
At each meal and each snack. And what does that mean? Again, I'm going to use my big word, macronutrients. But our macro just means those are the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones. We have micronutrients. Those are our vitamins and our minerals.
Okay.
And then our macronutrients are simply protein, the building block for our bodies. Makes our hormones, makes our B vitamins, makes our neurotransmitters. That's our protein. And then our fat, which, you know, when we eat the good, healthy fat, this is so hard for people, isn't it, Dar?
It is. But let me give you an example, Wendy. Last Wednesday, I had a client in, and she was really proud of herself because, and she really realized how much better these lunches made her feel for the rest of the day. And these are the lunches she had. One day, she went out for lunch, and she ordered a small steak, asparagus, a small salad with dressing, real dressing, and she felt great. Now, in the past, she would have never ordered a steak because, well, she was trying to lose weight. And then the other day, she went out and she had salmon, a salad, and a small serving of rice with butter. And, of course, she would have never had
that butter before.
No. And she really has a very busy life. She owns a business, and she has a busy family. And she really needs the energy that these meals created. And what she was just talking about in the consultation is she was so amazed. She had no cravings, and she wasn't hungry. And she got home, and she felt satisfied. She was able to cook a dinner for her family, but she wasn't snacking on the crackers before. And so that's what we're talking about, balanced. You know, the steak.
And that includes fat.
Yeah.
That includes fat for all of those people that think fat is going to make you fat.
Right.
It doesn't.
You know, in a restaurant, what she was getting is the steak. The asparagus, of course, had butter on it or olive oil. And then she had a salad with dressing, which, again, had olive oil on it because that's what she asked for.
Right. But when you go to a restaurant, you need to be aware to ask for those things.
Exactly.
Because otherwise you're going to get dressing. And then on the other hand, mm-hmm. you know, I had a client who went on vacation, ate French fries, chips, and cereal, and she felt awful. Plus, she gained several pounds and had really a lot of difficulty getting back on her healthy eating. So it is clear that our food choices change our brain chemistry and changed her blood sugar because of the French fries, the chips, and the cereal. They're all sources of sugar.
Exactly. So I think what we're going to do, Wendy, is just take a quick call. Deanne, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today? Hello?
Did you say Dana?
Dana. Okay.
Oh, hi. Yes, I have a question about my son. He's 22 months old.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having problems with his digestion since he was 10 months. We've seen a GI doctor. He's been tested for everything from celiac to cystic fibrosis, all negative. But he's on a daily Miralax, and he has been now for over a year. And I've been considering changing his diet as a way to help, and the GI doctor really didn't give me much information. And I'm wondering what you thought I could do to try to figure this out so he doesn't have to be on that daily.
Well, I think probably doing an individual consultation with one of us because...
Okay.
There is definitely there, you know, sometimes and often, this is true often, is food sensitivities do not show up in blood tests.
Right.
And, you know, a typical blood test for celiac disease is, listen to this, 90% inaccurate. So 10% accurate. So it doesn't give you much comfort, does it?
No.
So I think the true test is removing some of these foods, you know, and the things to look at always is gluten and dairy products and possibly even eggs, and remove some of those things, and I'll supplement with some good bacteria, some bifidobacteria, and I think what you'd find is he'd probably start feeling a lot better. But it really takes some direction to get through these steps, don't you think,
Wendy? The direction.
Yeah, right. I absolutely agree.
You know, so what part of town do you live in?
Plymouth.
Okay. I mean, we have an office in Wayzata.
Yes.
So that would be a good place to bring him in. Or, you know, and if at his age, you might just want to come in and yourself and get the eating plan and know what you're doing. So
thank you so much. I've been considering it. Thank you.
Okay
thanks, Dana. Thanks for your call. Do we have to go on break?
We do have to go on break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You may be surprised at how many people experience sugar and carb cravings after taking a round or two of antibiotics. So stay tuned, because when we come back, Wendy has some perfect solutions to reduce these cravings. Questions today, 651-641-1071.
Ian, you cannot spend the night in the prize closet again.
Why not?
Ian, is there a woman in there with you? Open the prize closet door right now. Who are you?
I'm Edith from Minneapolis, and I won 2 tickets anywhere Sun Country flies.
Oh, where are you going to go?
I think we might go somewhere in Mexico or to Anchorage.
Well, that's awesome.
Could you shut the door?
Sure. I'm just going to grab my husband.
What?
You two could spend some quality time in the prize closet and walk out with Sun Country Airlines tickets, spa certificates, and more. It's a great way to win prizes by doing exactly what you were doing anyway, listening to FM 107.1. To sign up and become eligible for our next exciting giveaway, click on the prize closet at FM1071.com.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Cates Dancer, registered nurse and nutritional counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and we are discussing solutions to cravings. If you have experienced cravings after a round of antibiotics, a simple solution is to add bifidobacteria and L-glutamine before each meal. It works great. Or if you've had one of those colonoscopies, then you need bifidobacteria and glutamine afterwards to restore your intestinal health. If you want more information about compulsive eating or our classes, call our office at 651-699-3438.
And Wendy, I think this caller, it'll fit right in because...
Okay, great.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
Thank you. You just answered part of it. I was questioning if glutamine is helpful for sugar cravings.
It is.
How much would you take?
Well, usually they come in 500 milligram capsules. If you're taking the capsules, or usually I think about a fourth of a teaspoon is somewhere if it's a powdered one. And you need to take probably at least 500 to 1,000 before every meal.
Okay.
Is probably the best. And it does. It's, you know, it's been shown to reduce sugar cravings. It's been shown to reduce alcohol cravings. And some treatment centers are actually using it in their treatment center when people first go in for alcohol recovery. And it reduces cravings for alcohol.
I had read that. And then my second question is, I have found in the past that if I totally cut out sugar, I'm doing fine. And the one, like you said, the trigger food, I take it and it just sets me off again. And I struggle with, is it realistic to totally wipe out all sugar all times? Or should you try to somehow make it so you can have a little here and there without going overboard?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question. Because
yeah, I do too.
I think some people are wired biochemically that they really have to stay away from sugar. And Wendy, I think you're kind of that way, right?
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
And I'm not wired that way. But, you know, it's if you are wired that way, if that's your brain chemistry, and then...
And if it's a trigger food.
Yes. And if you know that, it is probably better to stay away from it. But on the other hand, if some of those cravings are coming from, you know, lack of bifidobacteria or the glutamine, and you can balance that out and you still could have a little sugar here or there without it creating that drive to have more and more and more, then that would be an easier way to live in our society.
So it's a little bit of combination of willpower and nutrients.
Well, it's not. I don't think it's willpower. It's honestly understanding your own personal biochemistry and accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
I might not have sugar because I know that I'm very sensitive to having higher blood sugars if I would eat.
And inflammation.
So mm-hmm. I don't eat those things because of those reasons. It's not because I wouldn't be able to stop.
Right. But for me, that would be the...
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate
your
help.
I think we can also relate this question, because for me, it's like, would you have a little bit of alcohol?
Right.
Yeah. If that's a trigger for you.
Exactly.
And no, you wouldn't.
No, that's right.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that. And,
right.
for me, that's just for me. And everybody needs to figure out where they're at, it's like, for me, pretty much any amount of sugar leads to more sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Or that craving, which I can't stand anymore. I didn't know I couldn't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I could live without it.
Right.
That craving. That, having that sugar and then, just what do I do now? Because that's all I can think about is having more until I get back in balance.
Do you still have those cravings now that you have figured out how to balance your biochemistry?
No. I mean, 8 years ago when I started eating in balance, I was just amazed. I didn't go to DAR because I thought I didn't go there to because I had cravings. I went there because I wanted to lose weight, like everybody. And then it was amazing that all these physical things in 2 weeks were so much better. And I just got up one morning about 5 days after I started the program and went, I don't have cravings. I wasn't thinking about food. I mean, yes, I had planned my day with my balanced snack, but I wasn't thinking about sugar. I wasn't thinking about a cookie or not having a cookie or a bag of chips and not having chips. I mean, it was amazing. You definitely can live without cravings.
Yes.
You can.
And I think, often meeting with one of us to really help you understand exactly where those imbalances are occurring, because it may be that you're just low on zinc.
Yes.
And if you're low on zinc, you're going to have more sugar cravings. It could be that you're just low on magnesium, and then you're going to have more chocolate cravings.
Or an unbalanced blood sugar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you're low on serotonin or dopamine, which is really more dopamine, and you need more animal protein in your diet or maybe a little bit of an amino acid to help make more dopamine. But that's what we do when we work with people and help them balance so that, and so they understand it directly as an intellectual process, because they can plan their day that way to avoid having those cravings. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
We love the question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a great question.
Yes. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We're excited to hear that the times are changing. At some colleges, water is actually replacing soda. At St. Cloud State University, a new hydration station.
Love the word.
Yes. Is available to students. Water flavored with apples and cucumbers and mint are very popular choices and are replacing soda. Isn't that great? And actually, there's 35 schools in the Midwest area that have hydration stations now. So we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are struggling with food cravings or a food addiction, the core of the problem is not your mother. It's an imbalance in your biochemistry. There are many solutions to food cravings, whether it is learning to balance your blood sugar or adding magnesium to reduce chocolate cravings or supplementing with zinc to stop the need to eat dessert after a meal or removing a food sensitivity from your diet. We have helped hundreds of people get over compulsive eating. We know that junk food, high-carb processed food such as cereal, bagels, and this is the way a lot of people start their day, or crackers, will lead you down the path of obesity, diabetes, and depression. People feel great when they eat real food.
You know, and there is a lot of confusion about the origin and nature of abnormal eating behaviors. Let's face it, the most popular psychological ideas are probably wrong. Since eating is based on old primitive programs in our brain and have very little to do with our modern personality theory, we all want to try to explain away addiction as a control issue, a test of willpower, a character defect. It is difficult to understand that it is a brain problem, a defect or an imbalance in some area of the brain. Frankly, research and scientists have not conquered all aspects of the brain and the behaviors attached to these different defects, or even the effects of a nutrient deficiency. I mean, it's kind of amazing how much we need to know yet about the brain.
Oh, we know very little. In the February 2008 issue of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they reported the results of a Canadian clinical trial which found omega-3 fish oil helped to relieve psychological distress in women.
Yeah, you know, the brain cell membrane, that little membrane that goes around every cell, needs omega-3 fatty acids to help the serotonin go reach and enter the next cell so depression or the need for comfort food doesn't exist. So omega-3 are really important to reduce that need for comfort food. So lack of omega-3s can affect cravings and addictive behaviors.
And I think we're getting to see a picture of how complicated this can be. So people do need help to walk through this, don't they?
Yes.
When we address food cravings and addiction in our individual counseling sessions, we, of course, look at blood sugar, we look at all these nutrient deficiencies, we look at what people are eating, and then we look deeper into the biochemistry of what goes on with people. And we have a lot of success time after time after time, don't we, Dar, with working with people when we look at all these factors.
And we know that real food is the solution.
Or it can be the problem, and we want it to be the solution.
So thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be talking to you next week.
And have a great day.